In a world of confusion and hot topics, we are all looking for answers. Welcome to TAM Talks, a place for real and honest conversation on relevant issues today. And here's your host, Tammy Hotzenpeller.
Welcome to TAM Talks. I'm Tammy Hotzenpeller. I'm so excited to have you guys with me today on the podcast. Now, if you missed last week's, make sure you go back and listen because it's an intro on the power of prayer and a little backstory on how powerful the tool of prayer is in our life. And you know, if you're like me, I grew up in the church, or maybe you're saying I grew up in America where we're free to pray, and it's something we actually used to do in our schools. It's something that many of us learned at home. Maybe we pray for our food, or we prayed for a crisis in our life. So many of us are aware of what prayer is, but I don't think we understand the power of prayer. I don't think we understand the intimacy of prayer with God. And so I want to take some time today and just talk to you about how I pray and why I put so much emphasis on prayer. You know, we pick up the passage in Luke when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Now, can I ask you this? Did you ever stop when you read the Word of God and say, why do they ask the questions they ask? And why is the dialogue going on that's going on in the Scripture? I believe the reason that the disciples are asking Jesus to teach them how to pray is because they were well aware of prayer. You see, these were Jewish boys that grew up praying sometimes 3 and 4 times a day. It was a part of their culture. Now, stay with me. This is good coaching. It was part of their culture to pray. They got up in the morning and they prayed. They went to the temple at noon and they prayed. They went at sunset and they prayed. So prayer was a part of their culture. But the power of prayer was missing. You have to understand that what they were seeing in the life of Jesus and what they were seeing in the life of the disciples that had been following him, there was power in their prayer. There was intimacy. It was personal. It was a relationship. So they looked at Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. You have a new way of praying. It's like when you pray, things happen. When you pray, it's like you're praying to someone. They didn't understand praying to the Almighty God of the universe that created them and knows them. Listen, this is very, very important. Please listen to me. Most of us pray out of ritual, out of routine. We don't pray out of faith. We don't pray out of hope. Maybe in a crisis. Maybe you've had a situation in a marriage or financially or with a child, and you have nowhere else to go but God. So everything in you is crying out, and you know that He is the only one that can meet your needs. All right, I'll give it to you then. Those are the prayers that are personal and real to you. But what about establishing a relationship ongoing every day where you're communicating with God, that you're not just asking Him for things, that you're listening to Him, that you're communicating with Him, you're talking with Him. And again, it may seem odd that you say, are we supposed to talk to Him all day long? Well, I mentioned to you in our first podcast together, that's what a relationship is. A relationship is communicating with someone on a regular basis, where sometimes you talk and sometimes you listen and sometimes you just sit together quietly. It's building this intimacy with God. So I want to take that beautiful passage that we all know, the Lord's Prayer, and I want to talk to you a little bit about how He made it relational. Now, many of us like to call it the model prayer. It wasn't what I call the real Lord's Prayer. To me, the real Lord's Prayer, or Jesus' prayer, was when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was getting ready to taste death for you and me. He was getting ready to die on a cross for your sin and my sin, and He cried out to Father God. He cried out, "If it be your will, oh, please let this cup pass from me." So everything in the humanity of Jesus was going to fight the cross, but everything in the divinity of Jesus went to the cross. And He is praying. There, you see this intimacy where He's really talking to God, right? So we understand that kind of prayer. But when the disciples came and said, teach us to pray, Jesus was kind of a life coach, right? He sat down with them. He was a teacher. He was their instructor. And He said, when you pray, pray like this. So He assumed that they prayed. they came and they said, teach us to pray like you pray. So he says, when you guys pray, when you take the time to sit down and really pray, make sure you know how to pray. And he starts off like this. He says, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I like to break scripture apart and to kind of break it up. So when I read a passage, I stop and I meditate on it. I mentioned to you in our last time together that when I'm on a prayer walk, I always begin my prayer walks this way. Lord, give me insight, wisdom, and revelation. Let me see what I cannot see with my natural eye. Let me hear what I can't hear with my natural ear. Let me sense in my spirit that which is spiritual. You see, although I live in a physical world, I am a supernatural being. I have eternal life with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So He can relate to me on a supernatural level. He can show me things that I can't see in the natural realm. And so He's teaching the disciples, when you pray, start by honoring and worshiping the God of the universe, Elohim. I've written a book recently called Fasting with God, where I break down the Hebrew names of God. And in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And that word Elohim is El, which is God, and Him, H-I-M, which actually is a plural ending for the Trinity of God. From the very beginning of time, the Trinity was together. So Jesus understood the role of the Father. It was always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from the beginning of time. So Jesus is teaching, when you pray, pray like this. Hallowed or holy be your name. Our Father, recognize, stop. Now, this is important, so stay with me. I'm a life coach. I've had a life coaching company forever. So stay with me, because when I teach, I coach a little bit. He wants you to understand that you have to start every prayer by acknowledging who God is. If you're like me, most of the time when I come in crisis mode, I just cry out, God, help me. God, I need you. And I'm spouting off my request. But when you have an intimate prayer or time with God, you start off, first of all, by acknowledging who He is. Our Father, my God, holy, holy, holy is your name. And all allegiance and all alliance goes to one and one alone, my holy God. So you start your first part of your prayer by worshiping Him. And then the second thing you do, you go on and says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. So what I'm doing here right now is I'm recognizing that I'm asking kingdom to come. Now, this is part of theology. Stay with me. It goes a little deeper. I'm not just asking God for the resources I need here on earth. I'm asking God to bring heaven to earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm recognizing that God sees from a perspective I don't see. I'm asking His will to be done in this situation. I can't tell you how many times I've had course correction in the middle of a prayer. I can't tell you how many times I started off in one direction asking for something, and God turned the corner because I wanted His will to be done. I wanted His work to be done. And He began to shift my heart. I'm going to segue and tell a funny story. Many years ago, my husband and I went to his 25th high school reunion. And now, girls, you can hang with me here and understand this, right? It was important for me to really look good. I didn't go to the same high school as my husband. And, you know, I wanted to be the show wife, the trophy wife. At least I wanted the guys to say, you did a good job, Phil. And so I got myself all ready. Now, I knew my husband had a high school sweetheart. I'd never met her. I just knew her name. And I assumed I would meet her at this 25th high school reunion, right? Now, come on, are you tracking with me? Men that are listening going, okay, I can't relate to this. Oh, come on. You know you wanted to look good at your high school reunion. You didn't want everybody to think you were over the hill. We all want to look good at our high school reunion, right? And so, man, I was looking good. I was all ready to go. And we go to the high school reunion, and all of my husband's friends were like, oh my gosh, did you hear Phil Hotzenpiller is a pastor? Yeah, his high school days were nothing like that. So he had turned the corner and now became a pastor and had faith in Jesus Christ. And so all the football guys were talking to him, and I was there meeting all of his friends. And then I heard this, Phil Hotzenpiller, and a voice from the back of the room, and it was his high school sweetheart. And of course, you know, I wanted to check her out. And I turned around and I saw her, and there she was. And my husband put his arm around me, and he said to me, "All I can say is, I thank God for unanswered prayers." Okay, you might say, "Tammy, that's mean." No, man, I was feeling really good. I was feeling loved. Why do I use that analogy? I wanted to take a fun break, first of all. But let me say, it's because obviously my husband prayed to marry her, right? That was his high school sweetheart. He wanted to marry her. But what? God changed his mind and turned the corner with his future. That's the way it is with life, guys. Often we come to God and our timing is off. Our request is off. God's got something else for us. God's got something new for us. God's got something different for us. And if God gave us everything we ever requested, we would be miserable people because he knows what we need. So in this parable, as Jesus is teaching, in the scripture, as he's talking to his disciples, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it's already being done in heaven. Bring heaven to earth." And then he goes on, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, this is really good, guys, because I want you to understand this. Stay with me. God needs to feed you. Now, we live here in America. I know this podcast goes around the globe, and so there's other places they're listening, but we're pretty fortunate in our country to be able to run to a grocery store and pick things up and have plenty of food. But do you know that there is daily bread, daily manna that God wants to give you? Do you remember the Old Testament when God provided for them daily manna and he did not want them to store it up because he wanted them to eat fresh manna? Stay with me, this is good. Fresh manna every morning. Most of us have our cupboards full and we don't have to rely on the God of the universe to feed us. God wants us to spiritually come every day, not on the scriptures we know from the past, not on the prayers from the past, but he wants to give us fresh wisdom, fresh insight, fresh revelation, fresh manna. So when you pray, say, "God, would you feed me fresh today? Would you give me today some fresh daily bread?" And then he goes on, it's so good, and he says, he teaches them, this is, look, come on, this is hard here. And then he says, "And forgive us our sins, as we have also forgiven those who are indebted to us." Now, this is when it gets hard. Why does Jesus add this to the model prayer? Why did Jesus add this to the teaching and the instruction on how to pray to his disciples? Because he knows humanity is just relentless when it comes to holding on to forgiveness. We are creatures who don't want to confess. We are creatures who don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to forgive and forget. We want to hold on and harbor things. I'm telling you, if you don't let go of resentment, if you don't let go of what's hurting you and harming you from your past, you will never be set free. Jesus put this in the Lord's Prayer when he said it's so important that you forgive others their sins. Now, I'm telling you what, I am talking to a whole lot of people that understand sin firsthand. There's not one of us, the Bible says, no, not one, that has not experienced sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he paid the price for your sin and my sin. And the way he forgave us was freely. And until you can forgive others freely, you'll never understand the power of prayer. So I just want to stop right here. I just feel prompted, right? This is how Holy Spirit works. Someone's listening right now, and you are harboring resentment against someone. You're holding on to a pain point from the past. Maybe it was someone who abused you, who spoke ill of you, a spouse who left you, abused you, a child who hurt you, a boss that took advantage of you. The list can go on and on and on because we've all been hurt, but you've held on to that to the point that you know every detail. You have rehearsed it over and over and over in your mind. I'm telling you what, until you take that to the cross of Calvary, until you literally stick that on the cross and you give it to Jesus and you walk away, you will never, ever be set free to fully know how to love and live a life of abundance. You have to forgive others their sins. And then the last thing I just want to close with, and he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Oh, this is so good. Please stay with me. So here's what Jesus says. Boys, listen. Ladies, gentlemen, everyone listening to me right now, I'm praying that the enemy doesn't lead you into temptation. Why did Jesus say this? Because just a few chapters before, in both Luke 4 and Matthew 4, the Bible tells us that Satan came in the wilderness and tempted Jesus. The enemy came, and he came specifically after Jesus as he was fasting, when he was weak and vulnerable, and the enemy came with all the goodness of the world and the opportunities of the world, everything the world had to offer, he gave to him. And he knew temptation. And Jesus says, listen to me, pray against temptation. And you may be a believer, you may be a Christian, and you say, I could never do that. I would never do that. Listen, oh, be careful lest you fall. Temptation is out there for every one of us. Jesus teaches in this beautiful model prayer that we are to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let me tell you, close every one of your prayers this way. In Jesus' name, put a hedge of protection around me, around my loved ones, my family, my husband, my household, my children, my grandchildren, my church, my pastors. The list goes on and on. Put a hedge of protection around me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me, protect me from the evil one. That is how you pray with power. You take the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, and you put your story, your request, your flesh on this beautiful template that Jesus left for us to know how to pray. You want intimacy with God? You want a relationship with God? Take time to pray and talk and communicate with the God of the universe that knows your name so well. He has identity, he has destiny, he has favor for your future. Thanks so much. I look forward to being with you next time. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for joining us today on Tam Talks. You can find more resources and information at TammyHotzenpeller.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. We pray blessings and abundance over your life today. Until next time, stay safe and God bless.